Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Well, coming up on the first part of today's program, we're going to talk about disinformation and conspiracy theories with somebody that's been researching them recently. Then later on in the program, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Last night, this happened on Fox News, where one of the hosts, Tucker Carlson, who has been pursuing this story that somehow Hunter Biden, who is the son of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, somehow did something wrong overseas, maybe made some money, and that money somehow is tied to his father. It's a pretty murky conspiracy theory, and Tucker Carlson claimed a couple days ago that he had documents and proof that there was something untoward happening regarding presidential candidate Joe Biden. But then this happened. Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News.
Get you on the air, but there's something specific going on behind the scenes right now that we did feel we should tell you about. So on Monday of this week, we received from a source, a collection of confidential documents related to the Biden family. We believe those documents are authentic, they're real, and they're damning. At the time we received them, my executive producer, Justin Wells, and I were in Los Angeles preparing to interview Tony Bobulinski about the Biden's business dealings in China, Ukraine, and other countries. So we texted a producer in New York, and we asked him to send those documents to us in L.A., and he did that. So Monday afternoon of this week, he shipped those documents overnight to California with a large national carrier, a brand-name company that we've used, you've used, countless times with never a single problem. But the Biden documents never arrived in Los Angeles. Tuesday morning, we received word from the shipping company that our package had been opened and the contents were missing. The documents had disappeared. Now, to its credit, the company took this very seriously and immediately began a search. They traced the envelope from the moment our producers dropped it off in Manhattan on Monday all the way to 3:44 a.m. yesterday morning. That's when an employee at a sorting facility in another state noticed that our package was open and empty. Apparently, it had been opened. So the company's security team interviewed every one of its employees who touched the envelope we sent. They searched the plane and the trucks that carried it. They went through the office in New York where our producer dropped that package off. They combed the entire cavernous sorting facility. They used pictures of what we had sent so that searchers would know what to look for. They went far and beyond, but they found nothing. Those documents have vanished. As of tonight, the company has no idea and no working theory even about what happened to this trove of materials, documents that are directly relevant to the presidential campaign just 6 days from now. We spoke to executives at that company a few hours ago. They seemed baffled and deeply bothered by this, and so are we.
All right, so that's Fox News last night. Tucker Carlson saying that he lost the Hunter Biden documents somehow, a company that never loses documents, somehow lost the incriminating documents, and apparently Tucker didn't have a copying machine, a photocopy machine, or a cell phone where he could have taken photos of the documents. He just no longer has the documents that would prove his entire theory about presidential candidate Joe Biden. Here to talk about disinformation is Melissa Ryan, who works for Right Wing Watch. She's a researcher and reporter. Melissa, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So I think the Hunter Biden story is just the latest example where outlets like Fox News are pushing conspiracy theories on which they have very little evidence, and now suddenly the evidence is, what little evidence they had, it seems to have disappeared mysteriously.
Yeah, it's an interesting example of the Trump campaign and his allies, I think, trying to make fetch happen. The New York Post, which originally, quote unquote, broke the story, The reporter that apparently wrote most of it, it's now been publicly reported that he ended up pulling his name from the byline. They've had a lot of trouble getting other outlets to cover it. They thought they were going to get the Wall Street Journal to cover it, and the most that the Wall Street Journal, which I think is a very conservative paper, could say was that they couldn't find, they couldn't validate. And I think it's really important to realize that this would be a very juicy story 2 weeks before the election that media outlets would be, foaming at the mouth to cover. But they can't because they can't verify it. Despite the fact that these documents supposedly exist outside of the New York Post and apparently Tucker Carlson for a minute, no one has been able to get a hold of these documents that supposedly exist.
Hmm. Well, it's just amazing he doesn't have a cell phone or a photocopy machine somewhere in that
or
past.
Or secure, yeah. I mean, sending documents online securely is not that hard.
Yeah. All right. So you've been writing about disinformation and conspiracy theories and QAnon for Right Wing Watch. It seems like this time in 2020, we've got an avalanche of this stuff going on. Why do you think that is, and where is it coming from?
It's at this point, I think it's fair to say that most of the disinformation we're seeing comes from official channels. It's coming from the Trump campaign. It's coming from the Trump White House. They are relying a lot less on outside actors, both foreign and domestic, than they were 4 years ago, even 2 years ago, and just using their official channels to spread disinformation.
Because in 2016, I think a lot of people thought, well, it's the Russian bots that are sending out Twitter messages or putting things on Facebook that are inaccurate but are designed to scare people. But you think that the official sources now are the sources of disinformation?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happened, first of all, you had, in 2016, the Trump campaign obviously didn't have the levers of power that they have now. With the White House and the benefit of being an incumbent. But I think whether we're talking about Russian disinformation in 2016 or what domestic actors were doing here, what you can see is the Trump campaign and their assorted allies and super PACs have learned. They've adopted best practices and they're using the same tactics with more resources.
Now, you looked at QAnon, too, this conspiracy theory that seems to haunt President Trump's rallies. He's having a rally here in Tampa in just a few hours, and there may be some QAnon people there. So give us some background. Where did the QAnon conspiracy theory start?
Sure. So QAnon is an outgrowth of the Pizzagate conspiracy that you saw emerge at the end of 2016. It began evolving around the Mueller investigation. And it posits that Trump and his allies in the White House are actually fighting a behind-the-scenes war against a cabal of pedophiles and their protectors, hiding in plain sight in business, entertainment, and democratic politics. Followers believe that Q, the anonymous author who first posted about QAnon on the message board 8chan, is presumed by QAnon believers to be a high-level official whose cryptic riddles offer insight into this so-called war.
Do they believe
that crazy on the face of it.
Do they believe that soon President Trump will begin to arrest the people that are part of this so-called conspiracy?
Yes, and they believe that he can. This started during the Mueller investigation when Q claimed that Bob Mueller and the president were actually working together, and what he called the storm was going to come any minute now, and all these arrests were going to happen. So QAnon believers get worked up into a fever pitch every couple of months because they're sure the storm is coming and these arrests are about to go down.
We're talking with Melissa Ryan, who's a researcher and reporter for rightwingwatch.org, and you can see her reports about QAnon and disinformation on that website, and this is WMNF in Tampa. Do the QAnon people know about Jeffrey Epstein and President Trump's connection to Epstein's parties and Epstein's trafficking of young girls, and how do they... Do they add that to their knowledge base, or do they try to keep that separate?
There's a lot of talk about Epstein, but they mostly connect him to Bill Clinton rather than President Trump.
Okay, all right. So I read at one point that the QAnon people believe that John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive and will soon emerge and replace Vice President Mike Pence. Is that
day I think has Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that day has been supposedly coming three or four times. I think the last time 2 weeks ago. But as of yet, JFK Jr. shockingly has not emerged.
Our phone number is 813-239-9663. I want to just get into this idea of disinformation, too. There's a pastor. Okay. There's a pastor here in Tampa. His name is Rodney Howard Brown, and he has a mega church. It's very connected to the Republican Party here in Hillsborough County, and he says that the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, was planned at a 2019 New York event hosted by Bill and Melinda Gates. What can you tell us about that?
So we know that during the pandemic, anti-COVID conspiracies have increased substantially and gone just bananas online, despite, I think, the tech companies making more of an effort on COVID disinformation than they have previously. We also know that folks who believe in anti-COVID conspiracies often end up at, surprise, surprise, QAnon, which has also seen a boom during the pandemic.
I've watched several, not a lot, but I've watched several QAnon documentaries, and they tie everything, you know. Endless wars, needless wars, the Kennedy assassination, everything that has gone wrong, you know, that could go wrong, deindustrialization, all that. But it's always, every time I watch a video, it's just one person telling you a story, and it's usually a man. And doesn't give you any sort of backup notes, no footnotes or anything like that. And they talk about human trafficking, but there's no way to check out what the person says, and they always lead you to believe that it's these Hollywood people and liberals who are the bad guys somehow. Somehow the liberals caused deindustrialization of the Upper Midwest. But there's no way that you can fact check any of these things unless you do it on your own. It doesn't cite its own sources, for instance, at the end of the documentary.
Yeah, and folks who do their own research often just end up citing other QAnon sources, so it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. QAnon is sort of it's like the singularity of conspiracy theories. So whatever conspiracy you are inclined to believe or may have believed before, there's probably a subset of QAnon believers that are right there with you on it.
Has the Republican Party, has anybody within the Republican Party, maybe some, you know, maybe more thoughtful members of the Republican Party said, you know, look, this is crazy stuff. We got to stay away from it. It can't propel us in the future because it's easy to dissect these programs. Just like Tucker Carlson's conspiracy theory is falling apart right now because he lost the evidence. You know, the QAnon stuff, that JFK Jr. is alive, or that somehow Donald Trump didn't see teenagers at Jeffrey Epstein's parties. I mean, all this stuff is going to fall apart eventually under scrutiny. Have any of the more thoughtful people in the Republican Party spoken out against QAnon?
You know, there have been some. As a reminder, President Trump has had the opportunity to denounce it twice and has opted not to. I know that McCarthy in the House, for the House leadership of Republicans, has denounced it. But also, you know, there are 89 candidates this cycle who ran who were believers of QAnon. More than 20 of them won their primaries. And then you have Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia, who's going to be a member of Congress. And no one has denounced her. The Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, is still supporting her campaign. So even though individuals have denounced QAnon, as a party, they're still supporting their QAnon believer candidates who are nominees.
Melissa Ryan is a researcher and reporter for rightwingwatch.org, and you can see her reporting there. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. In the last few months, people who want to oppose these conspiracy theories to push them, and people that support this Hunter Biden conspiracy theory have complained that that when they try to post their stuff or tweet it, post it on Facebook, tweet it on Twitter, or use Google, that somehow these giant corporations are attacking them and preventing them from getting the word out. Tell me, social media, What is it done or not done to help or stop these conspiracy theories from being passed along?
Sure. Well, Twitter has—they've since changed it a couple of times, but they have a hacked materials policy that they enacted in 2019, which was that if you were posting something that involved hacked or leaked materials, you were not allowed to post it on Twitter. And the New York Post article initially got pulled down, and people weren't allowed to tweet and share it because of that policy that had been in place for a long time. Twitter has now altered that policy. So now what happens is if you share hacked materials, it's going to go behind a warning label, which is more in line with some of their other policies on disinformation around COVID and election integrity. But the timing of Twitter making that change is unfortunate because it makes it seem like it was political and they were caving to pressure from the right on the article. Facebook, I think what they did was slowed the spread, so they made it more difficult to share, but they didn't ban it outright.
I mean, because the people who back these theories, who are opposed to Facebook and all that, say they're being censored by Facebook or censored by Twitter. Only the government can censor. A corporation can't censor. Now, a corporation can block, but censorship is a whole other thing.
It would be nice if members of Congress on the Republican side learned what censorship was and what capitalism was. Before they went after tech companies, but that's a whole other discussion.
One of the other areas of disinformation out there, and it is shared on Facebook and other social media, is an effort to misinform black voters, misinform Latino voters, Jewish voters, and Muslim voters. Talk about those efforts, disinformation and minority groups.
Sure. And I think that's such an important point, and thank you for bringing it up. We know that Russian disinformation in 2016 primarily targeted black voters and was trying to discourage them from voting at all as a way to boost Trump's chances. And that has continued into 2020. So you have disinformation campaigns. We know there are ones targeting Latino voters. There's been news about this in Florida a couple of times. We know that black voters are still being targeted. And the idea isn't necessarily to get them to vote for Trump, but to get them to not show up at all, which in a turnout election, which this one is, if you can't get out your voters, if you can't win in a free and fair election, I guess the next thing that Republicans are doing is trying to figure out how to make sure that Democratic voters don't vote.
If you're trying to dispirit black voters, what kind of messages do you send them?
In 2016, it was all about Hillary Clinton and the crime bill, ways that she supposedly had worked against the interests of black voters. And again, there were kernels of truth, but it was, wildly exaggerated what she had done and what she had said.
Here in Florida, the Latino vote in Southeast Florida, in counties like Miami-Dade and Broward and Palm Beach, used to heavily go towards Democrats. Now it's leaning it's still in favor of Democrats, but not quite at the numbers that it would have been in 2012 or 2008. And one of the things that's happening is that QAnon material is getting into the Spanish language Facebook and Twitter and other social media, and then it's being shared on radio shows down there and YouTube, YouTubers down there. They're using QAnon stuff as if it's true in South Florida.
Yeah, it's a problem, and it's difficult to combat. And, I think in those situations, if you are related to or friends with someone who is getting this disinformation and inclined to believe it, now is a good time to have that conversation with your cousin or your aunt or whoever might be inclined to believe it and help them understand that these are conspiracy theories that are not based in truth.
And some of the other disinformation that's out there targeted members of Congress who happen to be Muslim. Tell us what was sent out on social media about the members of Congress like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah, there's been a ton of disinformation about them. I don't want to necessarily repeat and amplify because a lot of it is terrible. But what it's led to is violent threats against both of them and putting their lives in danger. And they've not had much luck with the tech platforms getting not only the disinformation, but the threats against their lives taken down.
So if I'm reading something that clearly, at least, you know, I know is a conspiracy theory, because I'm a pretty skeptical guy, you read it and you know it, but are they clearly marked on Facebook as you know, possible disinformation?
It's very inconsistent. Sometimes Facebook, you know, they have a fact-checking program. Sometimes they will label things as disputed. More and more with conspiracies, the content is, you know, Facebook has just done a couple of takedowns of large networks of QAnon content, but some of it still gets through. And I think it's on all of us, any of us, by the way, anyone, even me, can be fooled by disinformation online. When you are about to share something and you're reading it, look at it critically. What's the origin of the link? What does the article say? Where is the source? Is it an actual news outlet, or is it just a website that's mocked up to look like an actual news outlet? The social media companies, you know, still aren't doing enough to combat disinformation. So unfortunately, it's on us individually as users to make sure that what we're sharing online is factual information.
Melissa, what else should I have asked you that we haven't talked about yet when it comes to QAnon and when it comes to disinformation?
I don't know. I mean, this has been a pretty thorough interview, actually.
I know there's a bunch of stuff that I wanted to ask you, but I don't want to monopolize your time. One last thing is that you talk about looking at the information, trying to find the sources from which that information is derived, and then go back to those sources and look. But, you know, we've got, I think it's fair to say, a huge number of people who are media illiterate, and they'll pass along things as if they're true. So, you know, how do we as a country make sure that people just don't believe stuff that ends up not being true? When you've got a big network like Fox sending out disinformation and then saying, oh, the dog ate my homework, like Tucker Carlson did last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, right? Because this is a systemic problem, and it's left to us as individuals to deal with. And I would say that the folks who are most worried about accidentally sharing disinformation are probably also the most media literate. I think it's just important to think about where you have influence and who are the folks in your life. You know, look, your right-wing uncle who watches Fox 24 hours a day for the past 10 years, you probably don't have as much influence with him. But if you have cousins or people in your life who are you see them being more susceptible to it or drawn to it, that might be a good time to intervene and have a conversation. And it's important not to shame folks, but try to talk to them about why something isn't true and how they can, you know, find ways to verify it themselves. I mean, what I tell folks all the time is, you know, most of the time it takes 2 or 3 minutes of work to verify something. And a good rule of thumb was if your middle school English teacher wouldn't accept it as a citation, you probably shouldn't be sharing it online.
Yeah. And just last month, a federal judge in a case in which a former Playboy model was suing Tucker Carlson, the federal judge said this about the contents of his show, and this pretty much says it all. She says, the general tenor of the show should inform a viewer that he is not stating actual facts, meaning Tucker Carlson is not stating actual facts about the topics he discusses, and is instead engaging in exaggeration and non-literal commentary. So, you know, a federal judge, and that was Fox's position on this defense in the lawsuit, is that they said nobody should believe Tucker Carlson. He engages in exaggeration and non-literal commentary. Shouldn't there be like a warning sign on Fox News, especially programs like Tucker Carlson, to say, look, this isn't really facts?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't complain about there being that. I think, you know, presumably with a new administration and a new Congress, we'll be having lots of conversations about regulating social media and regulating media. And it's going to be interesting where we come down on that as a society.
I think Fox, because it is Fox's own position, they should just do it themselves without regulation to say, look, this is what we say in court about our own guy. He doesn't, he's not stating actual facts.
Yeah, I probably have zero influence with the Fox News Corporation, but I would agree with you that's not a bad idea.
All right, Melissa Ryan, thanks a lot. Where can people see your writing?
You can find my writing. I write a weekly newsletter, Control Alt Right Delete. There is the latest report that I just wrote for Right Wing Watch about far-right candidates in 2020, including a section on QAnon candidates. And I am on Twitter at Melissa Ryan.
Do we have QAnon candidates here in Florida that you wrote about?
You do. I don't know that you have. I'll have to think it's over 89. So I'm not sure how many have won primaries, but you certainly had QAnon candidates running in Florida.
In the primaries. All right. Well, Melissa, thanks for spending all this time with us. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Melissa Ryan, who writes for the website rightwingwatch.org. And you can also find her at Control Alt Right Delete. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And if you want to look up those stories about Tucker Carlson and Fox News itself saying that Tucker does not present news, there's a bunch of great sources on that including NPR, September 29th of 2020. 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. President Trump will be here in a few hours holding a rally at Raymond James Stadium. And sometime early this evening, we think, Joe Biden will be holding a rally in the vicinity of the Tampa Fairgrounds. But we have not got confirmation about when and where that is. I think they're holding that pretty close to the vest. So as soon as we hear, I know that we've got reporters over at Raymond James Stadium right now, and Sean Canan will have a report on the president's visit this afternoon at 3:30 on the afternoon news. So, but let's see where folks want to take this conversation. 813-239-9663. Jason writes this. So what exactly does Hunter think he proves to us here that he is not smart enough? I think Jason's talking about Tucker, and I hope I didn't misspeak. So what exactly does Tucker Carlson think he proves to us here that he is not smart enough to make copies of the most important documents ever, writes Jason. And then David writes this, I'm so tired of Tucker Carlson and his BS. He's clearly lying and kind of reminds me of Mormon founder Joseph Smith. I returned them golden plates to the angels, and I can only tell you what they said, writes David. And then Andy writes regarding Tucker Carlson, he said the company was sent pictures of the documents so employees knew what to look for. What gives? Why wouldn't they fax the documents? Very fishy, writes Andy. And Bill Grace is our phone producer today. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what would you like to say?
Great interview there, Rob. Yes, I saw that Bo Belinsky, the guy who's a couple of nights there, and I was hearing his explanation as far as I could stand it. And you can just tell that that Tucker Carlson is just a, you know, just a, like I said, like a liar. You know, he's a big QAnon guy, you know.
I don't watch enough Fox News to know that he's a QAnon guy.
That's what I've heard. I've heard he's a big QAnon guy. And, let me ask you, Joe Biden is here today also. Do you know where?
I think he's going to be at the fairgrounds. They haven't confirmed where he's going to be.
Oh, really? Me and a friend of mine are going to go later on by the Trump rally. And we're going to see if we can, just go ahead and mess with some Trump supporters. My sister says, "Well, you must not care for your life."
Well, now, Danny, why would you want to mess with a Trump supporter?
No, we're going to go ahead and just go to thumbs down, just to piss them off. That's all. What's wrong with that?
All right.
Is there anything wrong with that?
So you're going to stand across the street and not engage? Yeah, I don't think we need to engage.
I may go up to them and just talk to them. But my sister said, "Well, you must be scared about your life." I said, "You ever heard they carry guns?" I said, "Yeah, that's no problem. I'd be more scared that they have COVID and everything." Listen, real quickly, Trump said the other day his lies are getting funnier. He said last week at the Villages, he says, "You're not going to, with Joe Biden, you are not going to have air conditioning in the summer, and you have any heating in the winter." I mean, his lies are even getting funnier.
I think the president also said yesterday, I'm going to have to look this up, that Christmas may be under attack if Joe Biden wins, and I'll look for the exact quote.
Even, Oh, yeah, exactly. Listen, real quickly, I want to say congratulations to your Tampa Bay Rays. They played a great World Series, and, you know, that move in the about taking out Blake Snell. Let me tell you something, okay, Rob, real quickly. Baseball is there's a thing called save-em adage. You got to look it up. My sister explained it to me today, and it's just completely scientific. They're trying to get as scientific as they can. You're going to sit there and tell me that Blake Snell could not have gone 9 innings. You're going to sit there. I imagine in the old days if they would have gone up to Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Bob Gibson, and they're working on a two-hitter, and they said, okay, you got to come out now in the 7th inning. Well, Bob Gibson probably would have. I mean, Gibson and Drysdale probably would have decked the manager. We're doing them. But, I mean, is that Bob?
You're really rubbing it in here, Danny. I mean, I think you're right. I think you got a case. I think you got a case that Snell should have stayed in.
Yes, I do. I do, and a lot of people think that.
Yeah, no,
Rob, you strike out 14 times over the Dodger relievers. You know, it's kind of hard to really, you know, put the blame on you. The Rays, they were outclassed. The Dodgers are a better team. It's as simple as that.
Okay, but, all right. Let's not get off on baseball. Danny, thanks a lot. Thank you.
All
right. I think he wants to rub it in. Rays fans are already feeling pain. Let's go to Jay in Tampa. Jay, thanks for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, Jay.
Hey.
You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Trump must have a name at Disney, because from the parking lot on Dale Mabry, you have to walk by about the whole length of the stadium is all gift shops.
Oh, it's the Trump gift shop parking lot. Well, you know, here's a question I wonder is that on that site, my understanding is that the football team gets the lion's share of any revenue generated on that site. I wonder if they give a chunk to the Bucks.
Well, maybe they should give a chunk to the city, because the city really owns the stadium.
Well, yeah, you got to go back to the people that negotiated the Ray J Stadium deal. Little kiosks would you say are out there?
Well, if it's a 10 by 10 or a 12 by 12, you count it up. They were next to each other all the way from the parking lot that says it's the Mercedes parking lot and the gift shop all the way down to about where the break is before, you know, the stuff that goes over the baseball field.
So, Jay, I was at a Trump rally one time, and I went up to a MAGA hat vendor, and I asked him about buying a hat, and I said, could I look at it? Because I wanted to look at the label where it was made. And he said, yeah, you can look at the hat. And so I took the hat down, the red hat, and I looked at the label, and it said, made in China. And I said, well, wait a minute. How come you're selling a Trump hat that's made in China? And he grabbed the hat away from me, and I just said, "Get out of here." So Jay, if you get a chance, take a look and see some of that merchandise and see where it's made.
I'm not going to go back there.
Okay, all right, Jay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
I lived in New York City. I watched this guy in the nightclubs in the 80s. Okay, I knew what he did. I knew what kind of character this is.
And what kind of character did you think he was?
Well, we all knew that he was using other people's money to boost his thing. I mean, you know, he was building Trump Tower and paying off the mob so he could bring in workers from offshore instead of hiring U.S. steel workers. So, yeah, he's going to make America great, you know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Jay. Thank you. 813-239-9663. We've got all men waiting, and we'll get them on, but it would sure be great to hear a woman's voice. Call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Pasco County. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have to agree with Danny about the pitching situation.
Let's not turn it into a baseball show. Come on.
No, I'm going to do it real quick. I think the coach made a mistake by pulling that pitcher. He was doing excellent, and I would love to see him go the whole game and make history. As far as today's rally in Tampa Stadium and Tampa Fairgrounds, I'd like to see equal coverage of both candidates from WMNF, from Channel 8, from Channel 10, from Channel 13. I want to know real numbers about turnout, and I want to see what each candidate says, because my mind still is not made up. Now, Bernie Sanders, had been the nominee, I would have voted for Bernie. I'm not sure about Joe, and I'm hesitant to vote for Trump.
And what kind of person do you think President Trump would appoint to the Supreme Court next?
You know, so I would hope it to be another woman.
Does it worry you that there's this overwhelming number of far right people on the U.S. Supreme Court now?
I think she went through a vetting process.
Does it worry you that there's a huge number of far right people on the U.S. Supreme Court now?
No, not at all.
Doesn't matter. Okay, David, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Matt in Winter Haven. Hey, Matt, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, great to be here. I just wanted to share a personal experience with someone I know in my life who happens to be a QAnon person. And I've known him for years, and it's really terrible. We had a conversation 2 days ago, and I don't think he likes me anymore because we were talking about the ballot and the different amendments that are on the ballot first. And then we started to go off the rails because he was saying how Joe Biden is a pedophile and Donald Trump's going to take him down. And just wait, you know, you'll see. And I was like, well, what about, you know, don't you think Donald Trump might be too? He said Ghislaine Maxwell is a very fine lady. And we know what she did and what she was involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And he was like, oh, come on, you really believe that? And I was like, well, come on, you really believe that? You know, you know? And I was like, just take this, man. Donald Trump, Politico, I think it was Politico that did this. You can fact check me on that. But they determined that on average, Donald Trump says 23 falsehoods per day. And he was like, really, man, come on. And I was like, yeah, really? This is reality. But also, I would like to point out that this friend of mine happens to be a flat earther, which in 2020, the year of our Lord, I don't know how anybody can think that the earth is flat. I mean, certainly there are flat spaces.
And how do they fake those stories from, how do they fake those photos from the space lab, from the space station?
I mean, you know, graphic equipment and, you know, video cards these days are getting so good at photorealism, but you can't convince me that the earth is flat, you know, by taking an orange, putting water on it and spinning it and say, see, if gravity was real, it wouldn't spin the water off. You know what I'm saying?
Matt, you got a problem. I don't know how to solve that one. Matt, thanks a lot.
Well, the solution is just, well, I'm sorry to see you go, buddy. I hope we can still be friends, but, you know, good luck on Tuesday is all I'm saying. Everybody vote. Everyone vote, please.
Thank you, Matt. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Karen in Dunedin. Karen, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I really didn't have anything to say. You just asked for a woman to call.
Oh, well, it is nice to hear a woman's view. What do you think about baseball? What do you think about pulling Snell in the fifth inning? Never mind. Well, just a joke. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So you got nothing? You got no more material, Karen?
I just want to pull the Band-Aid off. I want Tuesday to get here. I just am so done with this.
Okay. Yeah. Karen, thanks a lot. All right.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Al in Seminole. Al, what's on your mind?
I'm calling about a conspiracy theory you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
I don't want to start a new one, but I just wonder if you've heard anything about the Kim Jong-un travel up the mountain back in September, October. And it was a big deal because he rode his white horse, you know, and all his other cohorts rode their white horses. And anything he said up there was supposed to be, like, sacred. And he said that around Christmas, the West is going to get a big surprise. And I haven't heard anybody make any connections there, but I know Donald Trump was in love with him at that time. So, like I said, I don't want to start any conspiracy theories, but that's one I haven't heard.
All right, Al, thanks a lot. People can say anything they want. I always love to write down on my calendar the date of somebody's prediction. Like, for instance, President Trump has said, and he's been saying this for 3.5 years, in 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a health care plan. In 2 weeks, I'm going to give you X, and I'll write it down on my calendar, and I'll wait. And, of course, President Trump, after the first time he said 2 weeks, I'll give you a health care plan, didn't happen. Whether or not Kim Jong-un is right about a big, you know, surprise for Western nations, write it down your calendar. Look it up at the end of the year. It will not have happened. I'll guarantee you. There won't be a big surprise. So you can write it down the calendar. But remember all these predictions. When you get a prediction from QAnon, write it on your calendar. And then when it doesn't happen, wake up. Jerome writes, someone has littered the water all along Bayshore Boulevard, about 50 yards from the sidewalk, with Trump flags on PVC pipes. They should be removed immediately, writes Jerome. And then David writes, I'm really perplexed by people who believe the QAnon conspiracies. It feels like there's some collective brain damage among these folks. Get them a cognitive test, writes David. Jeff writes, I think there's dirt on political elites, both Democrat and Republican, and we just live in an atmosphere of constant mudslinging. People get so caught up in that, we wind up losing sight of what we should be hearing, like such and such candidate is good because he or she offers such and such policies to benefit the people. I would imagine as you speak about this Hunter Biden story about lost evidence, somebody on the right is saying that a Democrat stole the evidence. I'm sorry, I'm just getting tired of all of this, writes Jeff. And then Robert writes, here is the main Q hideout on Twitch. They've been kicked off most other social media sites. Thankfully, I tried to talk sense to them, but they are way too far gone, writes Robert. And let's see if we're getting a lot of lots of long links. All right, I've just gone through like 5 or 6 emails that I haven't read. Let's go to Chuck in Tampa. Chuck, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I've been busy this morning. Does the jobs numbers come out today, or do they come out tomorrow?
The jobs numbers come out. The national jobs numbers come out a week from tomorrow.
A week. Okay.
Yeah.
So, are we going to have a WMNF representative down at the Trump rally today?
We're going to have two. We're sending two reporters down.
Are they going to be taunting Trump supporters? And
you know, I've been to four Trump rallies. I've never taunted a Trump reporter. I always interview them. We have two solid professional reporters. They will not be doing any taunting. I don't know why you'd even ask that. That's a really Anyway, Chuck, I think that's not a really good question. You know that we have the best news staff of any small radio station in Florida. So, Chuck, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. And let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, what's up?
Man, Chuck just doesn't give up, does he? And I noticed that he was all ready to go yesterday two days ago with the evidence against Biden and how it was going to come out and drop everything. I have a question though about this Tucker Carlson story, and I can't seem to find it on the news. I was hoping maybe you might have the answer to it. But who is Tucker Carlson sending this thing to?
He was in Los Angeles. He was interviewing this Bublinski guy, and he had what he called a producer. He did not really identify who the producer worked for, but he said a producer put the stuff in one of the packages that you might send through DHL or FedEx or UPS. That he didn't name the company, and then he was sending it across country. And the package contained documents that would prove that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are guilty, but they were lost in the mail, so to speak. This never happens to me. When I send something FedEx, it always gets there, you know, on time. When I send something through the post office, it always gets there. It's maybe a little slower these days, but it doesn't pass the smell test, if I could say that.
No. Information that's so damning against a presidential or a candidate or something like that, and they didn't bother to make copies or get it down on their cell phone or anything like that. It's like, oh yeah, just send it off. We'll pick it up over there. You're right. It doesn't pass the smell test, and it is the equivalent of the dog eat my homework thing. I think it's hilarious right now.
Well, what occurs to me is that if you have important documents, you take a photo of them on your cell phone.
Yeah.
That's what everybody does. And if you have important documents, you may want to fax them, but you certainly photocopy them, and then you don't send the originals. You send the photocopies. Go ahead.
Oh, and you can't actually trust it in the hands of Tucker Carlson. My idea is that you have information that could take down a president, or in this case, a presidential candidate. You want to get it off to the New York Times or the Washington Post as quickly as possible.
Yeah, or send it to Attorney General Barr if you really believe it. Send it to the Attorney General. Yeah.
It's just
too weird. It does not pass the smell test. Jose, thanks a lot. Let's go to Sharon in St. Petersburg. Sharon, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I don't understand how the president of the United States is a victim. This man has had every opportunity handed to him his whole lifetime, and he is an idiot, and he is a victim.
You're saying that when, as he's campaigning these days, he's calling himself a victim and he's trying to elicit sympathy.
Well, he's done that the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. And you don't see how that could be. Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't understand why people believe that.
All right. Well, let's see if one of the Trump supporters who listen to and love this show will call us up. Okay. We'll see what they say.
Thanks,
Sharon. 813-239-9663. Dan writes this: please have your reporter or yourself examine the fact that Trump's rallies at Raymond James Stadium violates election law because RJS is an early voting site and the presence of a Trump cult rally represents obvious voter intimidation. Why isn't Hillsborough Supervisor of Elections Office speaking up about this? I did get a press release from them yesterday, and they said that they were going to maintain the distance. You can't electioneer within, I think, 150 feet, and we'll have to look that up, of an election site. But beyond that, you're allowed to electioneer. So as long as they keep the Trump rally 150 feet from the election site, the Trump rally is okay. But I do think it shows tremendous disrespect to people in West Tampa who are trying to vote today to clog up the neighborhood with the Trump rally. The president could have done it at the airport. He could have done it at the fairgrounds. He could have done it at the dog track on just near the Hillsborough River off Nebraska and 275. I mean, there's a lot of places you can do a rally and not do it near a voting site. So, Dan, I think that's a really good point, and we'll go deeper into it. And then Mike in St. Pete writes, pretty easy to tell who is on the wrong side of an argument by the volume, name-calling, diversion, and trying to dominate the conversation when the false side is trying to appear correct. That side is uninformed and ignorant of the facts, ignorant of the truth, or ignorance of the truth is not necessarily a sign of unintelligence, but the unwillingness to learn it is, writes Mike. Mike, thanks. I hope I conveyed the meaning there. I didn't read that very well. I apologize. Let's go to Lenny in Englewood. Lenny, you're on M&F. What's up?
Well,
hi, Lenny.
Thank you for allowing me to speak and talk with you. I think something that's really more that we need to concentrate is voter intimidation. I'm in Charlotte County, and I'm working with people outside the polls, you know, the poll greeters. You know, you're about to campaign outside the 150-foot space from the election.
Yeah.
Right? And there have been people, you know, who have been harassing poll greeters for the Biden campaign.
And when you say harassing, what's happening?
Threatening people or...
What kind of threats are they saying?
Well, one incident that I heard about or I know from is somebody driving by and getting out of the truck and actually appearing to be ready to start a fight.
to start a fight? Well, you know, we've had supervisor elections on this station for the last several months, and they all say if there's an incident of intimidation, you should call the police.
Yes.
Have you done that?
You know, no, luckily that issue was resolved.
With okay.
Our pets, but one of the security people from the polling place came by and kind of broke up this incident. But, you know, that I've heard of other people having issues being yelled at. And, you know, that it's, you know, when people getting outside, you know, it's not good.
Okay, Lenny, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling in from Englewood. Great to hear from you. And let's go to Rob in Thanota-Sassa. Rob, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Just that, you know, ever since Reagan let in, sort of opened the door for evangelicals back in the 80s, it's like an injection of irrationality into the Republican Party that wasn't there prior to, if you look at Nixon or Goldwater. Maybe you don't agree with them, but it was, you know, they were in the real world. And that sort of steadily increased. Nobody hates being on the wrong side of an argument, especially when you're talking to someone that has facts and can cite things to prove what they're arguing. So you just ignore it. You throw it out the window. And I think you've seen that on the right more and more and more. You have your own facts. You have your own way of looking at the world. And little by little, you know, I feel for the guy who has an old friend that he thinks is not his friend anymore. And I was close to that. I've known this guy all my life since grade school, but we just agreed to stop talking about it. You know,
yeah. Rob, there's no more powerful engine propelling conspiracy theories than Fox News. There is no more powerful engine propelling conspiracy theories than Fox News. If Fox News were to disappear, 90% of the QAnon people who go to Trump rallies and 90% of the stuff that you see on Facebook, television is still the most powerful way to convey a message. And when you've got Tucker Carlson promoting a conspiracy theory and then saying, "Oh, the dog ate my evidence," or whatever he's claiming now, you know, he'll come up with another conspiracy theory tomorrow night, and he'll run with it again. But once Fox. You know, you wonder, you know, the Murdoch family is incredibly irresponsible by allowing this stuff to go on. There are smart journalists out there, but they're not on from 8 till midnight or 8 till 11 o'clock on Fox.
Right. So you ghettoize the people that are responsible, and in prime time you put these inflammatory, so-called reporters or commentators on there. And I agree. I mean, maybe this stuff bubbles up from the nether regions of the internet, but then they put sort of a stamp of credibility or legitimacy on it by airing it, you know, on their network.
It's just like on talk radio where somebody calls up and says to the host, "Why does God abandon me?" I mean, people tend to trust people in broadcasting as if people in broadcasting have all the answers. They don't. They're just other human beings. But just because Tucker Carlson is on at 8 o'clock at night, somehow he's conveyed with this incredible authority of knowledge and power and understanding and all-seeing, all-knowing. Well, no, he's a guy on TV.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's sad that people follow him. I saw something out here in Thanota-Sassa, really interesting. I think I sent the video, the picture in of the red Solo cup stuck in the chain-link fence of Trump USA. I also saw a pickup with the head of Donald Trump on the body of Rambo brandishing an AK-47 or an M-16 or something.
And yeah, and that's,
I was driving around with that.
Yeah, that's an important, the hyper-maleism is really important to drumming up support for President Trump, and I should spend a whole show doing that. I think that's a really important topic. Rob, thank you very much. Let's go to Jeannie in St. Pete. Jeannie, thanks a lot. What would you like to say?
A lifetime report from the Pinellas Elections Office. I just dropped off my mail-in ballot because I didn't want to trust the mail because my birthday card was lost for 22 days in the mail.
Oh.
So I dropped it off, but there's about 250 people standing in line waiting to vote. So just to kind of let people know, you're going to have a little bit of time if you do that. And
there are not enough voting sites in Pinellas County. Can I say that?
No, and I'm at the main one, so I'm sure that's probably the most crowded.
Yeah.
But also I wanted to mention NPR News yesterday in the afternoon was saying that Donald Trump was forgiven. It was 200-plus $1 million debt on his debt.
Yeah, CNN and the New York Times.
Debt.
Yeah, CNN and the New York Times reported that. And Jeannie, I'm sorry we're out of time, but look for that story at the New York Times website and CNN. They've got a really good explanation. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11. This is WMNF in Tampa. Stay tuned. Coming up next, one of the worst election day incidents of violence in Florida history.